It's been my honor to be with you this week. I am grateful for your attendance. I'm grateful for your attention as well. Thank you for your hospitality and the wonderful place to stay. It really felt like home. I did, yeah. It took me a few minutes. It's like, wow, I'm staying home. By the way, I live in Kings Mountain, so I was staying at my house in case several of you heard the laugh. Well, what was funny about that? I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 10. This pursuit, when I first got the first notification of the theme in August, I went back and looked. That pastor emailed me, I think it was August 5th, and said, this is the theme. I remember thinking at that point, that's interesting, the feet of the gospel. And I just kind of mulled and then put it away, and just in the last week or so, went back, and I read it over again, and I thought, this is really something. What does God have for me here? There are times as a speaker you're given the theme, and all it is that they created a banner. That's all it means. Nothing more. You're not really expected to preach on it, but it's just there. But I knew here it meant something. And so I began to study and began to think about this passage. It's been wonderful for me. It's been wonderful to press into Scripture and say, what's the essence of it here? And just focusing on this 10th chapter of Romans. If the Lord does not return before the end of the message, I will attempt to preach to you from verse 17 and the last part of that verse. But Paul's writing is so compelling. It is so persuasive. It is, there's been seasons of my life where I read the book of Romans every week. And part of my devotion time, I write the book of Romans in a journal that I have to just manually write it, to just be more immersive in Scripture. Now, some of y'all do journaling with pictures and fancy stuff. I just write. I don't do the other stuff. But for me, it's a powerful book, and I want to, in this last session, read to you this portion of God's Word, Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Please notice the pairing. Both it was in his heart and it was part of his prayer life. Pastor mentioned earlier, the only command that we're given, a command that we are given in Scriptures besides going is praying. That we are to pray before the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. The Bible says in verse number 1 that it's prayer to God for Israel. So he had a people for whom he was praying that they might be saved. He had a purpose for which he was praying. Verse 2 says, for I bear record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Please don't ever let the traditions of men that seem religious make you feel like because they're sincere, God will accept them. The only way to heaven, the only way to have access is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way of salvation. The religiosity of a person or a tribe or a people or a culture is sincere. And it's frustrating sometimes as you travel and you see these other places where folks are worshiping idols. I remember one time I was in India. I think it was the very first time I was there, maybe in 1995 or so. And I was there and I watched people walking around a tree and bowing. And it made me so frustrated. Please don't tell. They might not ever let me back in the country. But I went and stomped on the idol that they worshiped. I was so aggravated. It never ever left me. I remember in the same country years later, I was there again, and I was, if you remember, it might have been 07, I'd have to go back and look. 07 was the tsunami, and there that affected India, and I went there, and we had large contributions that were given, and I went to bring them to the villages and check on the ministries, not just that they said they were distributing humanitarian aid, but rather that we went to see how things were being handled. And I arrived there, and I remember I went to one village, and in that village they were passing out an article of clothing a female would wear as a sari, as well as rice, and there was something else in a portion of Scripture. And so it was my duty, it seemed more like a photo op than anything, but it was my duty to see what they were doing. And so they handed me the packets, and I was passing them out to the villagers. And I remember there was a Hindu woman that came, And when she came, she walked up in the line like everybody else, but she had no concept of Christianity at all. And so she sees this guy, and in their terminology, it would be like a Maharaji who would be there. And she came, and she bowed at my feet and then kissed my feet. That's awkward. And they hurried her up and said, no, we don't do that. He is a man as you are a person. There is no difference. But it was the religious traditions. They said, well, she was, you know, genuflecting. She was there. She was worshiping. She was appreciative. Yes, but all of these things, just because of people feel or look sincere to you in their religion, it does not mean that God accepts that. If you've been to Mexico, you've seen people crawling down the church aisles on their knees, trying to garner God's attention. Others during certain seasons of Easter and such, who will whip themselves with whips just to garner God's attention. It looks religious to the world, but these are not things by which man will go to heaven. And Paul said, I am burdened for them. He identifies clearly, it's not just their zeal, but they're also ignorant of God's righteousness. And what are they doing? Instead, they're creating their own system of righteousness. That is exactly what the world is doing with the major religions in this world. Buddhism, Hinduism, these are all, and Islam, all are creating their own system of righteousness, and that is not going to work. This, the ignorance of mankind to the righteousness of God, is precisely why we hang shoes on a wall, why we make contributions today. This is why we're doing this. For one cause, we are commanded to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. The reminder he gives to the church at Rome, speaking of Israel, is for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Please remember the connection. Righteousness is always apprehended by faith. It is God gives to us. He imputes to us His righteousness. He removes our sin. And in that process, that's how mankind is saved. It will not be by the donations He makes. If you come to this church and you do not know the Lord as your Savior, and you make donations to the missions program because you feel good about that, that is fine. You can make it, but please don't think that it gives you access to God or better standing with God or gives you better position here in the church. All your money is doing is furthering the cause of Christ, and that's fine. We'll accept that. But the truth is, it gains you no access to God at all. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. You can imagine how the church at Rome might have felt in regard to this, to say, well, those are the Jewish believers and we're the Gentile believers. But he makes it abundantly clear. Salvation is for all. Salvation is not distinguished by politics. It is just simply by saying, or religion, it is simply saying that mankind has access to salvation. And the truth is that is still true today. Christianity is not about a religion. Christianity is about a relationship. Christianity is not for Americans alone. Christianity, God is not even American. That may come as a shock to somebody. Somebody thinking, I knew he was a compromiser. The truth is that you just got that, Brubaker. Good, way to go. Thanks for waking him up, Mrs. Brewer. He's sharp when he's awake. Brother Brewer is my friend. I say this to you. God wants the whole world to be saved. Note further, if you would, so the questions of logic begin. And I'm sure Pastor Surrett could tell me what kind of logic this is. I'm just going to go with logic. But notice what it says in verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. This is where we've been this week, hence the theme. Now, if we have guests here this morning, I think you said we had guests today. I'm sure you looked and thought, what are they doing? But it all has to do with this beautiful banner that's behind us here that say that feet like those who are involved in the work of the gospel might not look like much to you, but they're beautiful feet to God. These shoes are actually being sent to an orphanage in Honduras. It was just a visual tie-in. But no, you can't go up and buy the shoes after church if they have your size. Notice what he says. The feet become beautiful. That's where we started on Wednesday. Feet become beautiful when they contribute to the gospel. Feet become beautiful when they're called to the gospel. Feet become beautiful when they carry the gospel. Feet become beautiful when they communicate the gospel. Which then brought us to Thursday night of how do we keep this thing together that all of us are marching in the same direction? Well, we believe that our faith keeps us together with our missionaries. And we believe that when the missionaries suffer or in periods of joy, that those suffering times and those joyful times keep us together. Our prayers keep us together. When we're working together by praying with our missionaries, we are benefiting them. And not just that, but our giving keeps us together. Friday night, we began to explore what happens in verse 16, a moment of frustration in the sense of Paul's writing, and he said, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Yes, when the gospel arrives to a village where it's not been before, to a family that has not heard, and they can understand that salvation is available to all mankind, they look at those feet and say, those are beautiful feet that brought us the gospel. Yes, but there are times where many people will not believe. And when they don't, what is that frustration? Well, it's a frustration that we could look and say, let's just quit. They're not accepting the gospel where we're sending missionaries, but that is not our job. As we saw in Scripture, even in this passage between 16, 18, and 19, these verses we understand, we still focus on our message, we still focus on our messengers, we still focus on the map, and we still focus on what our mission is. That's what we do. This morning, I pressed into verse number 17 as I skipped it Friday night intentionally to come to the first phrase, or the two phrases of this verse, and I want you to see these phrases. I'll read them to you. If you were in the other morning service, which is not the morning service, but really the night service, and then I'm confused too. So then, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I see two principles here. I spent time in the first service discussing those with you. The first principle is this. People must hear. So we go. When he started with those phrases, so then, it's an introduction of logic again. To say, okay, then I've established all of these things. The only way someone is going to be saved is if they have a preacher who's been sent, who declares a message, and they deliver that message so people can believe. So he returns to the logic in verse number 17 and says, so then faith cometh by hearing. So if people must hear, then how do you get people to hear? You go to them. That's what we spent the first time, first service studying. Second phrase this other morning, which is not night but morning, but it is later. And hearing by the Word of God. Second principle I want to focus on this morning is this: people must get the Word of God, so we give. They have to have the Word of God. The key to all of this is the Word of God. How precious is the Word of God? The psalmist wrote in Psalm 138 and verse number 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy Word above all thy name. This copy of the Word of God you hold in your hand. You have a copy of the Word of God perhaps on your lap or in your hand or on your electronic device. And that is the one thing that God said, this is even above my name, what I had to say. When Kim and I, my wife Kim, who's here this morning, when Kim and I were engaged to be married, there was a season of 6 months where we were apart. We could only afford one phone call a month in this season. I was in Grenada and she was here in the U.S. She was preparing for the wedding and I was starting a church. And in this back and forth communication, there were also times where not just the, I think, maybe was it 5-minute phone call? I mean, it was just crazy expensive. You had to reserve. That I am not that old, but it was just a foreign country. You had to reserve the phone call, and then they had to put the call through, make it ring on her side, make it ring on my side. I mean, it's just insane. And I think it was only 5 minutes that we could afford to talk to each other. Well, that'll help you in your communication, make things real simple. You don't waste a lot of time. You just say, I love you a bunch. But there were other times where Kim would write, and now, if you're weirded out by this, that's your own problem. I enjoyed it. Kim would write, and the letter would be sprayed with perfume. There would be lipstick marks on the letter and on the envelope. Say, now I am weirded out about it. Get over it. That's your problem. She wasn't writing you. She was writing me. And I would get those letters and I would pore over those words. Yes, I would smell it and then read those words again. Everything she wrote was precious to me. How much? Now, wait, you college girls who are laughing back there and you think there's humor here, let me assure you of something. When Miss Nikayla, right? There will come a time where you'll find some boy. Oh, wait. Never mind. And you'll write, and you'll do stuff, and then you'll remember how you laughed at Mrs. O'Malley. Yeah. I digress. God's Word is exactly that. You say, there's no perfume to it. Then you've never been in a hard moment where the fragrance of the Word of God lifted off the page. You've never been in a moment where you felt isolated and alone and you grabbed your copy of the Word of God and you pulled open its pages and you said, oh God, do I need to hear from you today? And you found its consolation in the very words He left. If He elevated His Word above everything and faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by God's Word. And therefore, we have to understand why this world needs the Word of God. Because it is access to salvation. It is that which removes ignorance. It is that which provides the information about God's righteousness, which was already established, which is acquired by faith. And I say to you that this precious Word of God ought to be our everything. And we ought to find in God's Word both our delight and our inspiration and our consolation and our joy. And yes, we should return to its pages often to find its fragrance as it fills the room of our heart, even if young college girls laugh. Number one, people must hear, so we go to them. Number two, people must get the Word of God, so we give. I think that if, now, the only time I ever attended Brother Surrett's homiletics class is Once was to judge in a competition, and once was to hear one of the students preach, at which point my Siri went off in his classroom. Do you remember that? They're recording this and my Siri goes off. What in the world? But it would not be amongst the wise things to do what I'm going to do this morning. I have 1 point and 22 subpoints. And you're out of time. When I think about the significance of verse number 17, and I read those words, and hearing by the word of God, I want to just give you a few thoughts. I don't know that I'll give you all 22, but they're there. Now, for you who are the blank fillers, where you have to have everything that's there, and if you don't get one, you are disappointed and you just like, okay, wait, no, he skipped one. Tim, I'm skipping a bunch. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4 reminds me that the word of God must be translated because the God of this world has blinded the minds of men. Why has he done that? Because if men can believe a lie, they will. And if they get access to the truth, then his work is thwarted. And therefore, men like Lloyd and women like Lloyd, not women, men. Can you all just fix that and I go on? Men and women who've given their lives to the translation of the Word of God play a vital role in making sure that minds do not stay blinded. Satan is actively engaged and at work, and the Word of God must be translated, number two of a bunch. The Word of God must be published. In Psalm 68, in verse 11, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. This declaration to which Paul is making and hearing by the Word of God is referring back to the glad tidings of good things. It refers back grammatically to the report that men do not believe. It refers back to the proclamation of preaching that must be done. The Word of God must be published. The beautiful thing about this conference, and it may not ever happen this way again, but you have a translator here and you have a publisher here. I don't think I have any change in my pocket. I don't. But I imagine someone in this room has $2.50. If you think you have $2.50 at your disposal, just raise your hand. Some of you are thinking, no, I've been in church, I've been snookered before, I am not raising my hand. I know your tribe, I know it. But that's all it takes to get one Bible, 66 books, into the hands of someone somewhere in the world through our brother's ministry. $2.50. If you go to Starbucks, that's barely a cup of coffee. If you go to Dunkin', it's not enough. Yes, I'm biased. $2.50, and we could put the Word of God in someone's hand. Remember, do you remember in the earlier service, which is really the later service, I mentioned to you about a brother who was sending Bibles into North Korea by balloons? What they're sending over, it's not whole Bibles, by the way, it's scripture portions. 51 cents takes care of the balloon, the helium, and the scripture portion. At Starbucks, that's an extra shot. 51 cents. God said, my word is more valuable, it's elevated above my name, and I want my words, the tidings, published. I want them known. How little it would take of us to make such great impact. The word of God is sometimes made of no effect. The book of, that would be Luke chapter, Mark chapter 7 teaches us that mankind can use traditions to make the word of God of no effect. Jesus said in Luke 4:4, the word of God is by how man ought to live. It is the word of God in the parable of the sower. It is the word of God which is the seed. In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 31, it is the word of God which had to be spoken with boldness. In Acts 13, probably one of the most significant moments, I'll ask you to turn there. I'm not going to ask you to turn to all 22 references, but in Acts chapter number 13, I want you to turn there because this is one of the most significant moments in missions history takes place in Acts 13 and verse number 46. And this is really following up on the initial opening of the door to the Gentiles with Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, but it becomes a bold proclamation in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 46. Notice what he said, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. That moment in missions history is a life changer. Do you know why? Because then the gospel becomes boldly proclaimed to the Gentiles. It will spread across what we understand now as Europe. It will make its way to North America where we are, and we are recipients of the gospel from Acts chapter 13, verse number 46, and it was all about the word of God. It was necessary we brought it to you, but since you rejected the word of God, we're taking it elsewhere. Now, the gospel, we know Paul wrote to the Jew first, also to the Greek. We understand that, but it's the word of God that is our sole message. Brother Alan does not have a ministry without the word of God. Brother Lloyd has no ministry without the word of God. Todd has no ministry without the word of God. Brother Tim and his wife, no ministry without the word of God. It is the word of God that has to get into people's hands. Faith comes by hearing, and the only way people hear is by this. Now, I know what I'm going to say. I'm just trying to give you time to brace yourself for what I'm going to say. Then why is it that it sits on the back shelf of our windows in our car? Or is not readily accessible, nor hidden in our heart? Why is it that we ignore it over everything else, where it's easily or readily set aside? The word of God is what he directed toward the Gentiles. The word of God in Acts chapter number 18 and verse number 11, it says that he stayed there for 18 months and taught them the word of God. So it's the word of God which must be taught. It's the word of God in Acts chapter 19 that has to grow and prevail. It's the word of God in Ephesians chapter 6 verse number 17 that it becomes our offense and our sole weapon. It is the word of God which is precise. Go with me to Hebrews chapter number 4 for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 4, and you're almost out of time. Hurry. You say, well, I thought that was you on you. No, I can speak faster. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto him, unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. What I want you to realize, this is the word of God which is precise. It is the word of God which is profound. It is the word of God which is powerful. Why? Because it divides soul and spirit. It divides the joint and marrow. It divides man's thoughts and the intents of his heart. It's the word of God, verse 13, which exposes us. It's the word of God which displays us before him. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 for just a moment so you have this, or just at least write it down and I'll read it to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 8, teach us, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. The Word of God has to sound out from this place. It's the Word of God that must be taken to every place. It's the Word of God that it, and how it changed us is the testimony that we ought to share. Psalm 119 verse 130 says that the entrance of God's Word gives light. It's the Word of God which will work. Isaiah chapter number 55, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and shall prosper in the thing thereto I sent it. This copy of the Word of God will change eternal addresses. This copy of the Word of God will change people's lives. I remember I had to go to Canada. We have a Canadian office for worldwide there. I had to go there for an audit. We were chosen for an audit, and I flew up to be there with our office manager there in Canada, and I sat down there with Canada's equivalent of the IRS, which is called Revenue Canada, I believe. And I sat down there with the agent, and she was reviewing all of the things, and she was looking at our activity in a nation that is predominantly bound by Islam, and she was saying, well, you say that lives are being changed here. That's intangible. She said, I need to know what's really happening. And with respect, I said to her, ma'am, in truth, it would seem intangible to you at this distance. But the village to which we brought the Word of God, where that church was planted, in that very village, the men would go and terrorize their wives and their children. They would go to the next village and kill their neighbors. But when the Word of God came to their community, men stopped beating their wives and abusing their children and going to the next town and committing murder and killing off the nearby villagers. While that seems like possible religious intangible benefits, it was quite tangible to the wife, and it was quite tangible to the children, and it was quite tangible to the village that was there. So I assure you, now I'm not giving her the preacher voice, I'm just speaking to her in a gentle, kind, simple, gracious voice. But I'll tell you something. And in that moment, I assured her, and she said, oh, okay then, next item. And I say to you this, wherever we take the Word of God, it changes lives. You're here as a testimony of what the Word of God can do in your life. Don't let it be, don't ever let it be academic to you. Let it be where you get connected with God. And this, let it be the message that we deliver to others. In just a moment, you're going to have an opportunity to say, yes, let me send the Word of God somewhere. And I'm not talking about $2.50 to our brother to buy a Bible. Not by any means. I'm speaking of the fact that every single missionary we have wants support. And those we already support want continued support. And it takes the investment of God's people to say, so then faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Why do I give to Faith Promise Missions? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God, who invested so much and gave a guarantee that His Word would never return void. Would you stand with me? Dear Father, this morning, with all of my heart, I've attempted to share with Your people that one thought, that Your Word works wherever it goes. Thank You for a message that is transcultural. Thank You for a message that is transforming. Thank You for a message that is absolute truth in a world of deceit and deception. And God, this day, as this church contemplates what they are going to do about this conclusive statement, we've got to get the world the Word of God. May we be mindful of the power of Your Word. And may we be investors in the cause. With heads are bowed and eyes are closed and prayerfully none really looking around, but you're just contemplating. Something this week nudged your heart. Brother Hafner said earlier, if your heart hadn't been touched this week, it might be time to check your heart. But are you doing what God intended you to do with your life? The ambitions that you have, are they divine and holy ambitions? Is your life about investing in the distribution of the Word of God and the publication thereof and the translation? Is your life about producing the next generation of missionaries from your children? Are you engaged or creating, better to say, are you creating a culture in your home of service to the Lord? Paul was right. So then faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the Word of God. If you want to understand faith promise missions, then you understand this. God's Word must be given so people can come to Him. Do you know what God wants you to do this year for faith promise giving? Are you living a life of selfish ambition? Are you wholly devoted to Him? As the music begins to play, the invitation is open for you.